Ladies and gentlemen, August Donnelly.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for August Donnelly's Full Frontal here on CHRW 94.9 FM. I'm the man, not the month, wishing you a good day or good evening, depending upon where in the world you are. First and foremost in the news of late, with spring now upon us, the World Baseball Classic was held, and our beloved Team Canada found themselves eliminated in a massive upset by, of all countries, Italy. That's right, Canada, likely the second most powerful baseball nation on earth, following the U.S., was eliminated by a score of 6-2 by the Italian squad, which leads me to believe that the Canadian team shouldn't have been out celebrating the night before the game was actually played. The hangover couldn't have helped. Seriously, what a joke. Now it's all up in the air, but I don't know what's going on with Team Canada. It's pathetic. You know, Cuba's a great team. Japan's always a powerhouse. But Italy? Losing to Italy? Really? Frightening. Also, in the world of sport, last week, just as I predicted literally years ago, Martin Brodeur, the New Jersey Devils star goaltender and future member of the Hockey Hall of Fame, surpassed Patrick Waugh for the most wins ever by an NHL goaltender with 552 career wins and still counting. Brodeur tied Waugh's record of 551 wins in Montreal with Waugh in attendance and then set a new standard on home ice a couple of nights later. But alas for Marty, my beloved Boston Bruins shelled him yesterday for an easy win in Boston, clinching the Northeastern Division title and a playoff berth. Folks, I'm telling you, this just might be the year at long last. I'm feeling shades of 1972 all over again. Go Bruins, go. Because let's face it, Toronto isn't doing anything yet again. LOL, as my peeps on the World Wide Web would say. However, the biggest story I want to get to tonight here on Full Frontal is one of great sadness, I'm sorry to report. One of my heroes, and indeed a pioneer in the world of media and television, British actress Wendy Richard, passed away at the end of February following her third battle with breast cancer at the age of 65. I would have, of course, mentioned this sooner, however, I was vacationing in Mexico and obviously not broadcasting from foreign lands. Regardless, for those of you who don't recognize the name, her work speaks for itself. Wendy Richard launched her acting career in 1960 and enjoyed her first mainstream success as early as 1962 by providing her Cockney backing vocals on the pop single Come Outside by Mike Sarn, which climbed all the way to number one on the UK charts. After that, Wendy appeared in the 1965 Beatles movie Help, and the rest is history. 14 years on the set of Are You Being Served, and another 21, nearly 22 years, and over 1,400 episodes as Pauline Fowler on EastEnders, both shows being hugely successful BBC programs, cemented her place in the annals of television history. Overall, her career spanned a remarkable 49 years. Here at Full Frontal, we just want to say thank you to Wendy, thanks for the memories, and show our appreciation by remarking that Wendy was one of the very rare individuals in this life who forced a smile and carried on despite unimaginable odds at times, leaving the world a better place due to her time here. So, as a tiny tribute, we're going to play the song that started it all. Here is the brief yet snappy 1962 single, Come Outside, by Mike Sarn, featuring a youthful blonde bombshell, Wendy Richard.
Little doll, we've been jiving all night long. Got a feeling something's wrong. They ain't right to wanna keep on dancing. There won't be any time left for romancing. Come outside, come outside. There's a lovely moon out there. Come outside, come outside. While we got time to spare. Little doll, it seems ages since we kissed. Little doll, think of all the fun we've missed. Cause it ain't right to wanna keep on dancing. There won't be any time left for romancing. Come outside.
What for?
Come outside.
What's the rush?
There's a lovely moon out there. Come outside.
Why?
Come outside.
You do keep on.
While we got time to spare.
Oh, what another tweet.
Now I went and promised your old man that we'd be on. past ten. Seems we got just one more jive, then we'll be starting home again. Come outside,
get lost,
come outside,
go and ask Lil.
There's a lovely moon out there.
Go off, people.
Come outside,
give over.
Oh, come outside,
belt up.
While we got time to spare,
why don't you listen to the beat?
Little doll, I know the band ain't bad. Little doll, I'm a-getting kind of mad. 'Cause it ain't right to wanna keep on dancing. There won't be any time left for romancing. Come outside.
Lay off.
Come outside.
Stop shopping.
There's a lovely moon out there.
Tomorrow one.
Come outside.
All right.
Come outside.
Not for too long.
Well, we got time for a bit of slap and tickle, eh, Bert? I'll come out for a bit of snot, eh, darling?
Cool, you don't need to shave.
Yeah, I know, a little mark was here,
eh?
Fantastic. Granted, it's antiquated, but it still sounds great, I think, 47 years later. Now, for folks that are interested, you know I'm online at www.augustdonnelly.com. That's my official website. My blog, The Grind, I'm always writing and ranting about various things. There's an article I just wrote not too long ago entitled Life on the Box. It's a kind of a tribute and an info session about Wendy Richards. So for those of you that are interested, log on to www.augustdonnelly.com. You can read more about that, get a greater insight as to who the woman was, what she was all about. And like I said, the world has definitely lost a pioneer and a fantastic lady in general. Folks, my guest tonight has a remarkable and tragic tale to share concerning his personal experiences involving sexual misconduct within the ranks of the Roman Catholic clergy. In fact, having authored a critically acclaimed book entitled In the Shadow of the Cross, and acting as an advocate in this regard, he has done more than his share to help begin the healing process for many people the world over. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight on Full Frontal, we'll be joined by Charles L. Bailey, Jr., and Charles will be speaking with us via telephone in just a few minutes' time. But folks, until we have Charles on the line, let's get down to the listener email. It's been far too long and far too strong to be holding it back any longer. The first email comes to us from a listener from the Toronto area named Tammy. Tammy has the following to say. She says, "Hey August, I love your show and your website. Thanks for putting it out there for peeps to enjoy." Well, Tammy, I appreciate that. That's very kind of you, and I hope you enjoy listening to the show and continue to tune in. And by all means, like I've said to everybody, shoot an email anytime. August@chrwradio.com. Comments, questions, concerns are always welcome, good, bad, or otherwise. The next email I wanted to read was from another kind young lady, or I'm presuming young lady, because she seemed very young in her playful email. Anyway, I'll leave out the suggestive parts. However, she says, "August, there aren't enough men like you out there." Alana. Well, thank you, Alana. That is also very, very flattering. And folks, I'm not making this stuff up. Apparently there's not enough men like me out there. But you know what? I think what it boils down to is that as human beings in this day and age, we just don't have enough positive experiences. So it's not that there's not enough men like me out there, or there's not enough women like our friend Alana here out there. It's just that we're few and far between, given our profit-driven and information-oriented society. Anyway, one more email. This is coming from a gentleman named Joseph. Joseph's from down near Windsor, Detroit. Joseph has to say, "August, you are mean. You should be nicer to people." Joseph, I'll make sure to maintain that and keep it in the back of my mind as I do further charitable work, make charitable donations, and, you know, pay homage to many people other than myself on my radio show. Not quite sure what Joseph's getting at there. Apparently I'm mean and I should be nicer to people. But, you know, Alana thinks there's not enough men like me out there. And Tammy thinks that, you know, my website and show are great and I should keep putting it out there. So folks, what do you think? That's the question of the hour. That is the $64,000 question. What do you think of August Donnelly? As you're listening on chrwradio.com or 94.9 FM or on Rogers Digital Cable Channel 943, or you're listening to old archive shows on augustdonnelly.com, what do you think of this man, the man in question, myself, the one and only, often imitated, never duplicated? You know, what do you think? Send an email to august@chrwradio.com. You've got no right to complain if you don't voice your opinion. It's kind of like not voting yet complaining about the current government. You got to do something. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing, right? I think that was, you know, Thomas Jefferson or whatever. Regardless, a big and up-and-coming event this Saturday is that of Earth Hour. So for those of you who are in the dark on this one, no pun intended, Earth Hour is an annual international event created by the WWF, the Worldwide Fund for Nature, and the World Wildlife Fund, held on the last Saturday of each March, that asks households and businesses and commercial and industrial areas to turn off their non-essential lighting and electrical appliances for 1 hour to raise awareness toward the need to take action on climate change. It was pioneered by the WWF branch in Australia and the Sydney Morning Herald back in 2007, so it's not that old an event, folks. We got to get more people on the bandwagon. It's only 24 months old. This event has achieved worldwide participation by last year, just 2008, only 1 year ago. So the next Earth Hour, mark it on your calendar, is supposed to be this coming Saturday, March 28th, 2009, at 8:30 p.m. local time. So if you're listening here in Ontario, that's 8:30 p.m. our time. If you're listening in Buffalo, New York, it's 8:30 your time. If you're listening in London, England, it's 8:30 your time. If you're listening in Sydney, Australia, it's 8:30 p.m. your time. So 8:30 p.m. local time is Earth Hour. Flick off the lights. Don't be afraid to conserve a little energy. Turn off the computer. Don't check your email. You know what? Don't charge your BlackBerry. I suppose you can keep it on because it runs off a battery. But I think for 1 hour we can unplug and live off the grid, so to speak. It's really not going to do us that much harm. Let's get down to the interview that I mentioned at the beginning of this show. We've got Charles L. Bailey on the line. He's going to join us and tell us all about In the Shadow of the Cross, his acclaimed and heralded book, and also about his website, intheshadowofthecross.net. So if you need more information about Charles, it's intheshadowofthecross.net online. And ladies and gentlemen, we're joined by Charles L. Bailey.
First and foremost, Charles, thank you for making an appearance here on Full Frontal.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Now, according to your website, intheshadowofthecross.net, you were born and raised in Syracuse, New York. What was life like for you in Syracuse?
It was a fairly normal childhood until I turned 10. It was a semi-rural area. It was an average-sized school I went to and so on. It was a pretty typical rural area.
Now, having described the premise of your book for listeners, if you don't mind, perhaps you could start by giving people an overview of what it is that you're referring to when you cite sexual and ritual abuse by a Catholic priest.
Sure. It refers to, at age 10, back in fall of 61 and the spring of 63, I was, anally raped by a Catholic priest.
Oh, jeez.
The book details what I went through and how many years I kept silent about it and why I kept silent about it and why people have been abused keep silent about it and how to deal with it and how to deal with your feelings and how to seek out help and just chronicled what masters these people are and how evil it is and the depth of the evil that this isn't some random act that's put upon someone, which of course should never happen, but it's a carefully premeditated rape. As far as the ritual part goes, the polite way to put it is he treated oral sex as a sacrament, as a regular Catholic sacrament. He would have me kneel in front of him and say Latin over my head and do that little thing they do with they're making a sign across on your head and your lips and your chest and all that, but he would anoint me with his semen.
Jeez. Unreal. So this is something, like you said, he treated it as if it was a normal part of Catholic sacrament.
Correct. Right.
Goodness. Now, for the sake of the listeners, can you reveal the name of this individual who so terribly mistreated you in your youth?
Oh, absolutely. It was Thomas Neary. Neary.
And he was a father at the Catholic parish.
Correct.
Yeah. Now, I understand you've testified multiple times before the New York State Senate hearings on the effects of childhood sexual abuse and the need to revise or remove the statute of limitations concerning the prosecution of these offenders.
Absolutely.
And could you elaborate on that, Charles, and then what that's entailed for you?
Sure. The statute of limitations now is so restrictive that you have to disclose within 5 years of your 18th birthday, why it's not worded that you have to disclose by age 23. It's just the way legal things are done, I guess. And so if you don't disclose within that amount of time, then it's a get-out-of-jail-free card, basically, for the offender.
Really?
And I don't believe that that's the way the law should be written. I think it protects the offenders and does not protect the victims, and I'm pushing for it to be removed.
Right.
As it is in Canada, there is no statute of limitations on it, and that we should not have one in the States here for any kind of sexual like saying, even if a woman's raped, I think she should be able to come forward at any time. Mm-hmm. It's not something that you want somebody to know.
No, absolutely not.
It's something that you come forward to, the guilt associated with it, and the shame, and the embarrassment, and just how you feel terrible in general yourself. So it's not something to disclose.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you know of others in your parish or that, were under the care, I guess you could say, of this individual who were also assaulted?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I know of, well, I would say I've had contact with well over 100 other men that have gone public with it and been on the TV and in the news and in the papers. And
right.
It's written in my book here that they've come forward and contacted me. And I've come to find out that Thomas Derry had a 45-year career of undenied access to children.
Jeez.
He was in 18 some-odd parishes that I've tracked so far.
Yeah. So do you find that what seems to be the case, in, at least in my experience when reading about these things and hearing these things, the priest in question will commit, one of these horrible atrocities, and then for whatever reason the Catholic diocese just seems to, sweep it under the carpet and move that person to another parish, and then it just repeats again?
Absolutely. That's what happened with him. Like I said, he was in at least 18 parishes that I've tracked him to so far.
Right. Jeez, 18 parishes, and you figure there's probably 100 or more victims.
At least, that have contacted me. I mean, I wouldn't doubt from my experience so far that he had several hundred boys he annually raped and made him perform oral sex on him.
Unreal, absolutely unreal. Now, working as a peer counselor, do you find yourself receiving a lot of email and telephone calls from people who've endured situations similar to your own, not just with this particular individual, but just on the whole?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I bet I've peer counseled 500 men and women over the last 6 years.
They just probably never ceases to amaze you, the amount of the volume of email and telephone calls that come in. It just doesn't stop, huh?
Right, it does. It's a phenomenal. I mean, it kind of runs in waves. I may get 30, 40, 50 in a day, and I may get none for 3 or 4 days. So it seems to be triggered around something on a national scale or even a local scale when another priest has been identified or another clergy person of another faith, whether it be a rabbi or a minister or whatever. I mean, when that hits the news or the national news or something comes out about it, that the rise in calls and contacts I get will go up.
Yeah, perhaps that gives people a sense of empowerment that now it's their turn to speak as well.
Correct.
Now, in your experience, Charles, looking from the other side of the coin, do you think that it exists where Catholic priests may be falsely accused of these things because it has become so prevalent in the media in the last, several years?
I don't know. I think it's still going on this minute, even as we're speaking. I don't think it's been curtailed at all. I think it's the Catholic faith, unlike the other faiths, that are allowed to be married,
mm-hmm.
I think that they attract a different kind of individual. And they get free, unfettered access to children.
Yeah, that certainly doesn't aid the situation if one is out to do evil.
Correct.
Charles, if you could offer the public one piece of advice, concerning sexual abuse or misconduct of this nature, what would it be?
That's not your fault.
Right.
The biggest thing, these people are masters. I thought I was worthless. Mm-hmm. I wrote 100 suicide notes. If I wrote one as a 10-year-old boy. And so let them know that they are worth it and they are special and they're the ones that aren't worthy of us. It's not that we're not worthy of them. You are worth it, and there is hope.
The principal thing is to understand that the aggressor is the one in the wrong, I guess is what you're saying.
Correct, yep.
Now, going forward, if folks are interested in learning more about your work or getting in touch with you personally, what's the best way to go about doing so?
That would be to contact me on my website, in the shadow of the cross.net.
Okay. So,
in the shadow of the cross.net, there's my bio's on there, my personal details, my book. There's a link to other resources like bishopsaccountability.org,
mm-hmm.
which lists all the priests that have been caught so far. And there's a link on contact the author. And I always, always return emails and calls to people. I never do not return anybody that clicks on the link on the website that's looking for help. I have nationwide contacts through National SNAP that I belong to, the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests. and I answer the hotline on that on Wednesdays. So the anybody that contacts me through the website or offers comments, I do answer all my emails.
Well, Charles, I greatly appreciate you sharing your story with the folks here on Full Frontal, and it was a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks so much for making some time for us.
Absolutely. Anytime. I appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely, Charles. Thank you very much.
My thanks again to Charles Bailey for making an appearance here on Full Frontal and sharing his heartfelt, touching story, and a disturbing story at that. I actually attended a Catholic Mass recently, as I occasionally do, and it just amazes me that so many people in the church can be so good and mean so well, and there's such a sense of community, and then you've got these basically horrible bastards that are committing these absolutely reprehensible atrocities, you know, on the other side of the coin. In relation to that, I recently watched Bill Maher's new mockumentary, or documentary, however you want to call it, Religious. I highly recommend people watch that. Despite how devout or pious or non-pious you may be, regardless of your religious affiliation or, you know, lack thereof, it's a movie that'll definitely make you think and open up your eyes a little bit. Thankfully, mine already were open, but it did open them up even further. Before we sign off for another edition of Full Frontal right here on CHRW 94.9 FM radio, something that came to light a little over a week ago was a terrible misfortune in the south end of London, in the borough of Lambeth, on the outskirts of the city. At the intersection of West Dilbourne and Longwoods Road, on March the 13th, two children, aged 12 and 15, were killed when their pickup truck collided with another pickup at around 10:20 in the evening. The driver of the truck who killed the children, Andrew Coomer, 25 years old, has been charged with three counts of impaired driving causing death and countless other offenses. And here's the real kicker. This hero, this moron, Andrew Coomer, who couldn't possibly have fathomed the idea of accepting a safe ride home with somebody or, you know, spending $100 on booze and then $10 on a taxi, that's just, you know, absolutely unthinkable. This wizard also killed his best friend, Dave Marshall, tragically, who was a passenger in the pickup truck with Andrew Coomer, 25 years old, the driver. Marshall was only 26 years old and actually just graduated right here at the UWO with his degree in economics, and he was getting ready to move to Waterloo, where he had accepted a job with the Royal Bank. So, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with you, you know, Dave Marshall and the Marshall family here at Full Frontal. I can't imagine how awful that must be to deal with. But, you know, our hearts are with you, and our thoughts and our prayers are with you, regardless of what good the latter may do. So, in relation to that, on a lighter note, making light of just how ridiculous the foolishness of drinking and driving and just partying in general can be, I wanted to end things on a bit of a happier note here at Full Frontal and read a poem by a renowned Canadian poet, Jamie Hamilton, from Park Hill, Ontario. This is from his 1977 collection, Oiseau, like the French for bird. This is a poem by, again, Park Hill, Ontario's Jamie Hamilton, poem entitled Thanks for the Lift. I'd still be stuck in Dryden in the beer of an evergreen bar, but out of the smoke of the paper mill dropped an airplane disguised as a car. A strange-looking pair were the pilots, unshaven and sneering and shifty. They were chewing on cold blue memories of beating up cops in the 50s. Their hungover eyes needed plasma as I skeptically opened the door. Jump in, said Walter the Blackfoot. We've always got room for more. It smelled like hillbilly whiskey still, and I contemplated not getting in. We were all pissed up at the Ojibwe bar, and Tom broke a bottle of gin. While I weighed my memories of Dryden with a pound of desire to leave, desire is always a heavier load, I jumped in with an ounce of relief. And we drove, and we drove, and we drove. At one point, far up ahead was a Chevy. It was dragging both of its heels. And catching up, we could see that there were weeds growing out of its wheels. A quick tap dance on the throttle, and the Hollywoods howled so mean, the places we were going became the places we had been. Needless to say, on that flat, dusty day, the ride wasn't as long as all of Elvis's songs pumping out of the four-corner speakers. 24 hours of oldies but goldies would make anyone wicked and weaker. But we'd soon left it all behind, the buses, the cars, and the truckers. Thanks for the lift to Calgary, men, and rock on, you motherfuckers. Folks, we are all out of time for another edition of August Donnelly's Full Frontal. Remember, you can catch us right here on 94.9 FM CHRW Radio or on Rogers Digital Cable, channel 943, Mondays at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We're also online anywhere in the world via chrwradio.com and listen for intermittent broadcasts of the show throughout the week. Until next time, if you have any questions for myself or a guest, past or present, send an email to august@chrwradio.com or visit my official website at www.augustdonnelly.com. Tune in again, and you just might learn something.